To be with you. Good to be back with my brothers and sisters in Christ at COS. I want to start with a big word of gratitude to you for being a congregation that says yes to our synod and council policies by sending pastors on sabbatical, asking us to expand our horizons and perspectives by seeing other parts of the church in God's world, by having a chance to study and sharpen the blade as theologians and leaders. Thank you for allowing me to finish my final weeks of sabbatical over in Wittenberg, Germany, birthplace of the Reformation. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's actually the last Sunday of the church year. And any time you come to a conclusion, you sort of say, how would I summarize things here? So together as Christians, we say, well, next week we remember that Jesus came unexpectedly as a baby, but today, so too, we say Jesus will come again unexpectedly as King and Lord of all to bring you and me, the whole world, into the fullness of his plan. I think this is a really special Christ the King Sunday for me because if you're really going to say someone is king and a great leader, the leader has to be for everybody, right? And to spend 2 weeks with 21 other Lutheran pastors from 18 different countries, how sweet it was to be reminded that regardless of all the globe's political systems, however we refer to our political leaders, whether prime minister or chief chancellor, elector, governor, president, there are Christians around the world who with us boldly profess that in the final analysis, there is only one leader that we call King of Kings and Lord of Lords in whom we put our ultimate trust, and that is Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. It was fun to hear how many of you followed my little adventure via Facebook. And I try to post a little highlight each day. But with your permission, let me share a bit more this morning about my experience that has energized my passion to say on days like this, yes, Jesus is indeed Christ our King. First, I want to introduce to you my 21 new friends. Here's a video of them in just a moment sharing their names and countries. But in case you cannot hear them clearly, let me share with you in advance that they are from Canada, Mexico, Guyana, Brazil, Iceland, Finland, Norway, Germany, Slovakia, South Africa, Tanzania, Ghana, Singapore, Australia, Himalaya in India, Thailand, Malaysia, 3 from the States, and 2 from Indonesia. So here we go.
Joseph.
All right, here are my friends from the Wittenberg Seminar.
Joseph from Ghana.
Magnus from Iceland.
Jeff from Canada.
Alex from Brazil.
Michaela from Slovakia.
Krista from Germany.
Moises from Mexico.
Nils from Norway.
Julie from the exotic country of the U.S.
Donna from the U.S.
David from Tanzania.
Walter, Cape Town.
Isaac from India.
Marius from Sabah, Malaysia.
Joachim from Wittenberg.
Sinar from Indonesia.
Hi, I'm Lisna from Indonesia.
Samuel from Singapore.
Fraser from Australia.
Sim from Thailand.
James from Guyana.
Sari from Finland.
And I am Fritz from the United States. These are my friends.
Yay!
They were wonderful, passionate about the church and what God is up to, funny, hopeful, creative, dedicated. After breakfast each morning, we began each day with a devotional service. We took turns leading. It was so cold in this stone chapel built in the 1200s that you could see your breath as we worship. So if you complain about the heat or AC, you know, take it in stride here. But how wonderful to see our commonalities and differences as we worship. Then we moved to 2 fairly intense daily lectures by professors from the Lutheran World Federation Institute on Ecumenical Research. Professor Dieter is a key Lutheran ecumenical officer with the Vatican and told us some fun stories about his time with the Pope. Some of us were baptized Lutheran as babies, and some of us later in life. Isaac served for a couple of years as a freedom fighter for the Assam region of India and spent time in prison. Sam, a nickname we use so we could actually pronounce her name, is the very first female pastor in Thailand. Christoph grew up in communist East Germany, in which his uncle and aunt were suddenly arrested by state police and held for 4 months. The police made no provision for their daughter, his cousin, who then had to come stay with them. When I asked him how many friends he had growing up that he really could trust, he replied, "Not one." So when we traveled to Berlin for the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, it was powerful to hear Christoph explain what that personally meant. As a college kid, I got to visit East Berlin before the wall came down, so very meaningful to be back to see how they remember where the wall stood and the repression of that era. Quick story, here is a picture of one of the many guard towers. No bathroom, no chairs. An 8-hour shift where two soldiers who did not know each other were expected to stand back to back with no talking, and simply watch for those trying to escape through no man's land, with the expectation to tell on each other if their partner spoke. Being reminded of that repressive system and all those that still exist today gives me energy for deeper thankfulness this week for the many blessings in our country. Wouldn't you agree? And I got a little chuckle when I saw that our congregation, COS, is apparently opening a third campus in the Mall of Berlin. Way to go, church. Well, one afternoon, we spent visiting Lutheran congregations outside Wittenberg for coffee, devotions, and an evening peace prayer. The retired pastor was a trip highlight for me. Decades of war and then communism result in a very sparse attendance. Only 1% of the Christians on the rolls actually show up for worship. Nevertheless, he is hopeful about the future. He told us that just as the wall came down to usher in a new day, so too our God is bringing something fresh for the church. I just want to show you this little clip of him.
Eine große Freude, aber jetzt müssen wir Kaffee trinken, sonst wird es nicht alle. Also jetzt,
Coffee and
Mädels, los, Kaffee und Kuchen.
I just love that guy and how he embodied hope for the church. Well, in addition to our trip to Berlin, our group spent time offering presentations about our countries and our churches. We toured the city with a guy dressed up as Katie Luther, Martin's wife, visiting the Luther Garten, a collection of 500 new trees planted in honor of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. The garden is planted so it looks like the Luther seal from above. We found the tree planted by the ELCA, as well as the one in honor of our Southeastern Synod. We toured the Melanchthon House, who was sort of the Thomas Jefferson of the Reformation. We met the mayor of Wittenberg and added our names to the official guest book. We visited a very cool 360-degree panorama of Wittenberg in the 1500s, which was a wonderful teaching device I'll share sometime, a la Atlanta's cyclorama of the Battle of Atlanta. Some of us climbed the stairwell to get to the very top of the tower of the castle church, one inspiration for Luther's mighty fortress hymn. Here's a view of St. Mary's in Wittenberg from the top. And by the way, so encouraging in Germany to see all the windmills on the outskirts of town and all the solar panels lining the Autobahn. Amazing. On the way down, I swung by the castle doors where Luther nailed his 95 theses. In the late 1700s, the original wooden doors burned, but the Prussians replaced them with bronze doors with a thesis inscribed. Was it sacrilegious of me to see if our magnetic COS bumper sticker would stick to these doors? It did it, but it looked good there for a while, I thought. Where the COS bumper sticker does reside now is on the fridge of the Kolleg Wittenberg, where we stayed doesn't that look good right next to all that Luther beer? And I did leave one of our blue COS t-shirts to be put up on the wall right next to the one I found from Ohio State already there. And the whole group really appreciated the COS crosses as displayed by our friends from Brazil and Malaysia who started to wear them. We took turns cooking dinner for each other. Here I am with Nils from Norway cooking reindeer meat. Yum, yum. Guys from Malaysia, Himalaya, Norway, Tanzania, and the States cooking reindeer. That sounds like the start of a joke, but every mealtime it was a treat to sit with a new combination of God's children. Here in the evenings we played games and sang music and realized how tired we were from the exhausting schedule. When I made my way to bed at night, it was cool to visually say goodnight to the Castle Church and Community Church St. Mary's. Here's the picture of the moon over one of the cupolas from my room. Every once in a while, we might have been forced to eat some chocolate or baked goods or drink some of their Fritz Cola. Look out, World of Coke. And of course, we visited the home of Martin and Katie Luther and saw one of the famous indulgence boxes that stirred up Luther's passion to start the movement. Well, hey, let me now take you on a little tour of St. Mary's. Yes, Martin Luther nailed the theses on the door of the Castle Church, but St. Mary's is the community church where Luther's kids were baptized and Luther mostly preached. At the end of Luther's life, Wittenberg's chief artist, Lucas Cranach, painted an altar triptych, which he tried to capture some of the key points of worship. Let's remember, most people still do not read, so just like stained glass windows, this artwork was so important in teaching the faith. On the bottom panel, we have Luther preaching to the townspeople, who include his wife Katie and young son Hans. In the middle is what? Christ crucified. For Lutherans, this is the center. As Pastor Miriam and I have suggested repeatedly, every time we open the Bible, really every decision and choice of life, we should sort of put on glasses, on lenses. We should see our lives and meaning through the lens of Christ giving himself to us on the cross, winning for us our freedom, our future. Powerful that our gospel today, the final gospel of chosen for the year, is what? Christ on the cross, offering hope, forgiveness, eternal life, even to a thief. Notice that Jesus' body cloth seems to be fluttering in the wind. This is consistent throughout all Wittenberg art, not only indicating Jesus' resurrection, but that Luther and the others felt that God is on the move, blowing afresh in their lives. Let's go up to the central panel. What do we see here? The Lord's Supper. In those days, the bad guys were always portrayed in yellow. So we see Judas on the left front in yellow with the money bag, getting ready to leave and betray Jesus. What's neat is that we see Martin Luther as part of the 12 around the table. In each of these panels, Cranach includes the citizens of Wittenberg in the painting, making the point that faith isn't theoretical or just historical, but for the real, everyday citizens of life in his hometown. Here, Luther is portrayed in a beard on the right front as Junker George, the persona he took as he hid in the Wartburg Castle, after telling the Holy Roman Emperor that he could not recant. In the upper right corner, perhaps, you might see a tiny white castle, which some think is the Wartburg, and others think represents Wittenberg, which means white city in German. Okay, the panel on the far left is another building block of our faith, baptism. Now, the size of the font led to a great conversation in our group about the possibility of children being submerged instead of just sprinkled in Luther's day. Our professor suggested that Lutherans have nothing against full immersion of baptism, sprinkling was probably just logistical. If you were baptizing an infant just one day old, as Luther himself was, you dare not immerse a baby if it's only a few degrees inside the church, which has no heat at all. On my final Sunday, I stayed with a mission partner pastor, and he was getting ready for church, and he put on his boots that fit two pairs of socks, and he put on his sweater, put on his vest, he put on his jacket, and then he put on his black alb and walked over to church because there is no heat at all. Well, a funny story goes that the woman with the luxurious coat in the front is actually the artist's wife. She begged to be featured in one of his works. He obliged, but what? Did not display his wife's face. I don't think I'd want to be chronic when she first saw this painting. And finally, on the far right panel, we have the opportunity for confession, known as the Office of the Keys. For Luther, it did not emerge a sacrament like baptism or communion, but it was close. For Luther, it is such a gift that we can each hear as often as possible that we are forgiven and therefore freed up to serve others in joy. And forgiveness, for Luther, certainly does not come through buying indulgences or telling each other that you're generally good people because you lead moral lives. It comes by a continual conversation with God as part of your church life. It's probably why Lutherans still today, even though it might be confusing to newcomers, like to have some moments of confession and absolution in each of our services. Anyway, on the right, you see a man who has visited Wittenberg Pastor Bugenhagen and really only gone through the motions of confession. He goes away still bound in his sin. On the other side, Jesus' key of forgiveness has unlocked the man who opens his heart to believe in God's forgiveness. Friends, maybe this is an opportunity to remind you, even though that we normally do confession corporately, that as part of our Lutheranism, there is always the opportunity to have personal confession and declaration of forgiveness. Throughout my ministry, I've done that maybe about once a year, and it can be a powerful opportunity for some. Well, friends, I wish I had more time to show you all the doorways in Wittenberg that are built with these little seats, a reminder that God's people are called to sit down and enjoy and talk with each other. More time sitting to listen, less time standing to tell each other what you're doing wrong. More time to tell you why I love stewardship in our country. Here's a little picture of an old offering that they don't use that anymore. We found it in the back. It actually has two little bells. I think it's used for people who are sleeping. You sort of go down the pew and wake them up. In Germany, it is simply a tax. Churches are operated with state tax that you pay because you have to. Here, even though we might complain about stewardship campaigns, we know that every dollar that comes into our offering plates is given in a spirit of gratitude and obedience and joy as free participants in God's kingdom. I wish I had more time to acknowledge the failings of Luther, especially in his horrible comments about the Jews. Just like all of us, Luther was saint and sinner. But hey, we have got future opportunities, don't we? Let me close today, as we ramp up for Turkey Day, by celebrating how much we have to be thankful for. I appreciate and thankful for the pilgrims long ago who risked ocean travel to come to a land in hopes of worshiping the way they felt they needed to. I am thankful for Martin Luther and others who risked life to make sure that we heard clearly the gift of grace. I am thankful for Lutherans in countries who followed Jesus despite persecution, while our daunting obstacles seem to be apathy or exhaustion from overscheduling ourselves. I'm thankful for each of you. Each one of you who comes to worship Jesus regularly and to seek to let your light shine in your weekly walk, trusting that you don't do it alone, knowing that with friends, some of whom you've met, some of whom you haven't yet, from around the world, that you witness together that life is good, because we are led by a King of forgiveness, meaning, joy, and life. In His name, amen.